Hey guys, and welcome to Smart Women Read Romance, a book review podcast where we fangirl over all things romance. I'm Jessen.
And I'm Juliette.
And today we'll be reviewing After Midnight, the first book in Teresa Medeiros' Cabot series. But before we dive in, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast platform, and please rate and review us. If you want more romance discussions, follow us on our social media pages at SWReadRom, join our Facebook group, The Spoon Zone, and follow my YouTube channel, Jessen Reads Romance. If you'd like some podcast extras, become a patron of the podcast on Patreon, where we have extra content, including exclusive episodes, giveaway free enamel pins, stickers, books, and bookmarks. Special shout out to our patrons. We appreciate all the love and support.
Yes.
All right, guys. Okay. So we're going to be back on like our Game of Thrones bullshit, you know, because we want to talk about House of Dragons. So back in the day when Game of Thrones was still coming out, that was like a frequent topic that we would talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Is Game of Thrones.
That was because it was our obsession.
You know, we love to talk about shows that we're loving and stuff like that. And I will say, you know, like both Juliet and I were kind of like wary kind of going in. Of course, we have the wow factor of the trailers that were looking really cool, but you don't know until you watch episode one and stuff like that. So it's just, I'm feeling very nostalgic. About it.
Very.
And you know, I was on the way to my class this morning and I was checking my YouTube notifications and I've been noticing like an uptick in Game of Thrones related content on YouTube.
Starting to come
again.
Back. Yep,
yes.
Yep.
And so like a lot of people are actually going back and analyzing like Game of Thrones and like kind of what went wrong and like what do they expect from House of Dragons and stuff like that. So I mean, I think my overall consensus for House of Dragons, I really love the first two episodes that have come out.
I love them. Love them. Also, I want to just give a nod to the new intro that was on the second one. I don't remember it on the pilot, the first one.
It wasn't.
On the pilot. New intro, I was like, whoa. I was like, Kevin. And first of all, it is Ramin Djawadi's original
score. Well, it's the same
score.
Game of Thrones score. It's not a different score for the show. So they kind of brought it back. There is an interesting video, someone like analyzing episode two, like generally with no like spoilers, because I wanted to avoid any YouTube videos that were talking about like the books that they were based on, because, you know, I have read the World of Ice and Fire book way back when. And I have retained some information about this family, these particular people, but I don't want to like refresh my memory, if that makes
sense. Right. You wouldn't be a little surprised.
And one of the guys who was reviewing it said that they were like, okay, so like the first episode didn't have the cool intro, like Game of Thrones did, and the second one did. And he was just like, I wonder if they were just kind of like testing out the waters and seeing like, you know, how the response would be for episode one. And they had like the whole intro ready to go. And they're like, okay, we're going to put it in. And like, which one should we do? A new kind of theme song, or should we put the Game of Thrones theme song on there for nostalgia and like bring it all back, like full circle?
Be like,
hey, remember that you loved the first couple seasons. Don't talk about the last seasons, but you loved the first couple of seasons of Game of Thrones. Remember this? And I was like laughing about it, because I was like, what if they really did take
Y'all, they have to be treading very, very carefully on eggshells, because they know they have disappointed so many followers of the original show because of the last season. But I thought that new intro where the blood is all flowing into the dragon from the different houses was fucking
incredible. So it was very interesting, because it was kind of a little bit hard to tell like what sigils, if anything.
Yeah, I couldn't read the sigils as much.
And someone had suggested, and I don't even know if it's true, that it was going from like, it was showing like the bloodline of kings who have inherited the Iron Throne from Aegon, like the first conqueror.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's true. Like, I'd love to go count how many rulers there have been since Aegon. And if we end up with the same number of like little, you know, little sigil thingies. Because they have to all be like the same sigil-ish. Like, I was trying to figure out like what's on them. I'm like, what is that? You know? So anyway, I don't know. I'm just very curious.
And the new villain,
I
don't want to be spoilery, but I'm very curious about the new villain they sort of introduced, you know, across the seas, in the Triarchy.
That one. I'm like, what are we talking about? Because like, villain in Game of Thrones world, it's a very
it's a very loose
interesting term, because there are people who have
they're in the family
badly, maybe,
right?
But they're not technically villains, right? Or maybe they will become villainous, or maybe a person seems like really amazing that will later become like a fucking like force to be reckoned with. Like, right. You just can't, you don't know yet.
It's like Jamie started out as such a villain. Exactly. And then we just became, exactly. We were rooting for him.
Perfect
and
example.
Him.
It's like, wow, this is the bad guy, you know? Hero. And then.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and we won't talk about the end, but we'll talk about everything,
yeah,
up until
everything up until, everything up until that.
Then they ruined it. But
then they fucking ruined Jamie for me. Thank you.
Ruined it. But anyway, I just think that, I mean, the reason why I have high hopes for this season, and I'm, oh, wait, hold on, before I even get to that part, I am confusion about what season one is going to cover. What are they going to cover? Because
yeah, I don't know.
In the trailers, they do have like the time jump. In,
yeah, they do have the time jump skipping to them when they're like adults, both Rhaenyra and yeah. Alicent.
Yeah.
So I don't
know.
So
I'm like, I'm confused if the show's going to cover that much history. Because like, that's a lot of history. That's yeah. like decades and decades and decades. Like, I want to say that during this time, I remember it being like – at least like 20 or 30 years that, you know, that they have history about this time.
Yeah.
Very specific. And so I'm very curious to see, like, is this season one just going to cover the Dance of Dragons, which is that whole period, like 50 years?
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing? Because yeah. why would you speed it up so much if you have so much material? I don't know. I'm just very curious about that. Like, what's going to happen? Or are they going to end season one and the new cast is going to come in towards like the later episodes, like the last two episodes maybe, and then it'll end kind of like on a cliffhanger.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
Have you seen, I've got to send you this, and you may have already seen it, but it is a diagram that depicts the sizes of the dragons. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I'm going to send it to you. Because it shows Balerion and Vhagar, who's still alive and loose in mm-hmm. this world, which I'm hoping will show up. I'm hoping that's all foreshadowing mm-hmm. that we're going to see Vhagar. They're like ginormous. Then next,
well, they're very old dragons, too.
Right, they are.
Like, so, they've been around.
Exactly, very old. So those are the big ones. The next level, the mid-size, is like Saraxis. Hers, is that how you say her name? Rhaenyra's dragon, Saraxis?
I can't remember what her dragon is.
But hers
name
and his, those are all like the mid ones. And Dreamfire, which was they talked about that one in the last one. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be too spoilery. And then the lower level is Daenerys's dragons. So it just shows you like
they're
the
babies.
Size. But that's what I love. It just shows like,
well,
the
growth.
Well,
that's very interesting because I honestly feel like Drogon was bigger than what.
Well, toward the end, Drogon had moved up. Rhaenyra. I think he had moved up to like next. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was about to say he looked like a much bigger dragon than right. what she rode in on episode
definitely,
two.
Definitely.
Episode two, it seemed like a fairly mid-sized dragon.
Right.
It was a mid-sized dragon.
It was a mid-sized.
She
okay.
wanted a mid-sized. She didn't want like the full SUV.
Yes, the
know?
Full SUV.
She
did. The
She's
Cadillac.
Too tiny for that.
The
She's
big
too
Cadillac.
Tiny for that. Yeah. So anyway, mm-hmm. we could gab about that. But like I said, I think that I have high hopes for this series because they have so much source material to follow. So I hope that they stick to it.
Yeah.
That's just my hope for it. So we'll see. We'll see how we feel.
I'm excited.
I'm sure we'll be gabbing about it when, you know, oh, yeah. the season ends and we'll like
my whole like fascination with dragons has me hooked too. Like, I love,
so
you know,
like,
it's one of my
I want
favorite
to go back into a dragon
fantasy
world.
Elements. Look, I have so many ideas for dragons in future books. It's
I love
so
it.
Stupid.
I love it.
All right, let's we've
speaking,
got a book.
Speaking of fantasy,
yes,
we have this
fantasy
kind of paranormal ish
yes.
historical to talk about. So,
love it.
After Midnight, let's talk about the character real quick and we'll jump into the spoiler section. Our heroine, we're introduced to Caroline, and she is the older sister, and their parents have died. She's kind of been in charge of them since she was 16, and she mm-hmm. has two younger sisters, Vivian and Portia. And Vivian is like the beauty of the family, and mm-hmm. her mother had a sister who she married well, and she
right.
kind of like moves in society, and she was willing to take in Vivian, but like nobody else. And like, she's not like the best person, but you know, they're hoping that Vivian can snag somebody and basically kind of save them from ruin, because
right.
the current lord of the estate, their cousin, is terrible and kind of like threatening Caroline, being like, hey, you could be my mistress. Maybe.
Yeah. Like, he's already like tried to force a kiss on her.
Yes.
And just,
yes.
you know,
so
he's a lech.
It's desperate times, you know? Mm-hmm. And so Vivian is currently in London with the aunt, and all of a sudden, Portia, the youngest sister, who's a little bit dramatic, you know, a little bit fanciful, runs up to her sister while her sister's trying to figure out how they can budget for the rest of the winter. And she's like, oh my goodness, I just got a letter from Vivian, and she's going to marry a vampire. And Caroline's like, what? What are you talking about? And
she's Portia, by the way. She's like one of my favorite characters.
Let her. And she's like quoting Byron and stuff like that. Like she is just like, absolutely, we have to save her. Okay.
She's dramaful.
So much drama. Okay. So Caroline finally kind of like relents, like, well, if she's going to marry somebody, then we have to go meet him, you know?
Right.
And they get invited to a dinner because our hero, Adrian Kane, decides to send a letter to the family inviting them to a midnight supper. Okay. And like, of course, Portia's like, why would you have a midnight supper? Okay. Well, Adrian Kane. So he has a reputation, like it's just about town. People whisper about, you know, him possibly being a vampire and stuff, but like nobody can prove it. And it's all hearsay at this point. And I feel like one of the funnest things about this book is the question of, is he a vampire?
Yes.
Is he? We don't know. That's the whole thing. And it was really funny because when Juliet and I were like talking about it, she was kind of just getting in. She started like hypothesizing and stuff. And she's like, I think he's a vampire. Is he a vampire? I'm like, do you want me to tell you?
And I'm like, no, don't.
No, I don't. I don't want you to tell me. So that was really fun. Anyway.
One of my guesses was correct. I will say this. It's very cleverly written. There's less. I noticed. So, I mean, my writerly brain kept like noticing these things, like talking about the wind. We're like fangs nipping at my, you know, tail.
It's like that mood was
very
set,
the mood is very, you know? Gothic. All the there's lots of imagery that is very vampire-esque, you know.
Yeah.
About fangs and biting and all this kind of stuff. I just thought it was really cool.
I think it's cool too. So anyway, guys, if you have not read After Midnight, you should go pick it up and come back and chat with us. All right, guys. So we're in the spoiler section. And yes. So let's talk about when they arrive in London to go to this midnight dinner and meet Adrian Kane for the first time.
Yes.
I love it because, okay, so when they get there and all of their dresses are like so out of fashion and everything,
right.
And they feel a little bit out of place. And since Adrian Kane, I mean, he's kind of like a hot commodity about town and it's, you know, looking like he might offer for Vivian. So when they get there, Vivian arrives, she's looking very beautiful. And
yeah, because she's
getting some looks from the crowd, like, kind of like jealous looks and everything.
Right. And we should also mention too that Vivian is the second born. Caroline was forced because, like, their parents died when she was 16. She had to take over as their mother, basically, and give up her season. And so Vivian has basically been given all of her dresses. The aunt has, you know, bestowed all of her, you know, basically just like.
The aunt's very vocal about, like, Vivian has the looks.
Has looks.
I can deal with Vivian. Like, I can work with her, but, like, the rest of you, no.
I really felt sorry for Caroline having to, like, basically watch her sister get everything that was. She should have had first, you know?
Absolutely.
But anyway, so I love this. So we're at the party, and of course, there's like this dashing, dark haired, beautiful man.
He was like at the pianoforte for a little while, and then all of a sudden,
spouting poetry.
He goes to the mantle, and he you know, make sure that his face is at the best angle.
And all
know?
The women are just
all
like,
the women are like swooning and sighing, swooning. And
she's snickering and
she's like, this
and giggling.
Must be Adrian Kane. This must be because like he has the pallor of a vampire. Like, oh, I see where the rumors come from. Like, she looks vampire-ish.
She's laughing so hard, she's crying.
Because
and then she hears this man.
When he's spouting poetry, all the women like are in love with it. They're like, they are like, this is the best
They're
thing
They're falling
ever.
Into his
and
trap.
And Caroline's like, this is so dramatic.
So he is ridiculous. This dandy is ridiculous. Yes. Like, and so,
and of course, she's trying to stop her laughter. And all of a sudden, this man comes up to her and is like, here, most women, here's a handkerchief because most women are affected. Like, this is a common occurrence. People cry. And she's like, sir, I'm not crying.
I'm crying because I'm laughing.
Trying to not laugh. And he's like, interesting. Like, this is an interesting reaction. So she looks at this guy. He's like beautiful, golden Adonis, you know, beautiful and handsome, very tall, broad shoulders. And she's very interested. And so they have like a little flirty conversation.
And she starts flirting. And she even like confides in her true feelings, which is very unladylike to basically, you know, tear down this dandy who's like the host of the party, allegedly, because she knows this has to be Adrian Kane, right? It's up there. And so she basically is putting him down, you know, this and that. And
just kind of saying that she's unimpressed.
Unimpressed.
Like, this is not an impressive display to her. And she even referenced him and like, oh, well, this is our illustrious host. And of course, you know, there's all the rumors and stuff, and he's playing into those rumors or whatever.
So then when the person who is Julian at the heart stops speaking and everybody claps, Vivian turns around and says, Caroline, come see, you know, and that's when he's like,
he walks up to Julian and he's like, bravo, Julian, or whatever.
Yeah. I love that he left her handkerchief. She's like, oh, take this. He's like, you might need it. You might find something else humorous pretty soon.
Yeah, because she's like, sir, you left your handkerchief with me. And that's whenever Julian, the guy who was actually spouting the poetry, turns to him and he's like, oh, well, dear brother, only if my host commands it. And so then she realizes, oh shit.
Oh my God.
That's Adrian.
Looks at the initials on the handkerchief.
AK. And she's like, oh shit. I just insulted. Wow. I insulted his brother and also made fun of the rumors and like, oh shit. Like basically she just stuck her foot in it and this is a suitor. And also she feels a little bad because she was like, man,
she was flirting
with him. I've never had this before where somebody was looking at me like somebody who is desirable.
Right.
You know? And now she feels bad because
she had this instant attraction.
Yeah, instant attraction to this guy. And just so, like, ooh, nice conversation. You know?
And now she's
God. Because I felt like it was a very natural conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he approached her to flirt. I think it just naturally happened. He was standing there, handed the handkerchief because he truly thought that she was crying. And then he was very intrigued because – well, this is not the usual reaction that Julian inspires, you know?
Right.
So he was intrigued about that. And I just really liked their first initial reaction.
I did too.
It was really fun.
It was very, like you said, natural. And so I think that was the thing. It's like they had this instant, very natural draw to each other. And so then, of course, we're fighting our feelings because he's meant for Vivian, right?
So the dinner. One of my favorite parts is that.
Dinner.
Portia, the dramatic younger sister, is obsessed with Julian. And
I have to read her book. Is it out yet?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This book has been out for quite a while.
Okay.
And I haven't read the second book yet. So we could read it together. We could better read.
Right.
But so it's just so funny because she's kind of like very enamored of Julian. He's spouting Byron, one of her favorites, you know what I'm saying? And I love at the dinner table, Julian is kind of like he's still playing into it because he like stabs a piece of meat that's kind of like dripping blood and like shoves it in his mouth and he's like, ooh, delicious and all that. But then he's like, man, you got to tell the chef that he's using too much garlic. And Portia dips her napkin in the water and rubs her neck because she had put garlic on her neck.
She had like basically bathed in garlic so that she would repulse any vampire in the house. And of course,
Adrian
spots
her doing this and like looks at Caroline. Like, well, my chef's French, so, you know, they're heavy on the garlic, but kind of looking at Caroline being like, uh-huh, you believe these rumors, you and your sister?
It's
like, what's
so
going
funny.
On? Like, it's just, I think it's so funny. But anyway, they have an interruption during this.
Oh, yes, the constable. So the constable comes in all in a tizzy and, like, everybody's sort of, like, aghast because, you know, why is the policeman here?
He pushed himself in.
Like, yes.
He wasn't invited.
He forced himself into the party.
The footman and the butler are kind of like, sir, like, we didn't.
His wig's askew.
My lord, he's pushing through. And they're like, it's fine, Constable Larkin, you know, your invitation must have gotten lost in the mail.
Yeah, so basically
whatever.
He just takes a seat at the table. He also makes a note to say Lady Vivian and greets her. And she, like, cuts him at the table.
The
which,
cut directs
yes.
from a very proper Vivian who would never normally do that.
Yes.
So her reaction to him is very interesting.
Caroline's even
like, what? What's happening? Why does she not like him?
Yes.
What's going
exactly,
on?
Exactly. Exactly.
I knew it right away. I was like,
me too. She liked him.
Because, of course, we want Caroline with Adrian from the beginning after that flirtatious meeting.
Exactly.
We want them together. So it's like, oh, this is perfect.
Yes.
Maybe Vivian has some sort of crush or something on Constable Larkin.
Yeah. So we discover that the constable has come because there's been another death, you know.
People have been disappearing.
Right. And somehow Constable suspects.
He's like, ever since you and your brother came here, there's been disappearances.
These things start happening.
Like, just very sus, you know.
Right.
And I love how Adrian just kind of like dispels all the rumors. Just kind of like, oh, well, who were you talking to again? Oh, a prostitute. And like, was she drinking? Yeah. Like, it's like notorious for gin down there. Are you sure she wasn't like, just kind of like
never,
really
you
tipsy?
Never get up till past sunset is like, as most gentlemen do.
Yeah. Like, what are you, you're never seen. You're never seen in the daylight. It's because we stay up till 4 a.m, sir.
Yes. And you know, then we go gambling and winching, as they say, at night.
Exactly. So I love how there's this immediate suspicion cast upon them, because it's like, wow, it's so coincidental that you and your brother came here, and you know, there's rumors of you being a vampire.
We did get this sort of like suspicious prologue, you know, with which we don't really know whose point of view it's from, but it's basically there's this man who's obviously very suspicious, luring this like harlot woman of the street to this like alleyway and pins her against this lamppost, and suddenly the person who's narrating like grabs him by the throat and lifts him, you know, supernaturally off the ground and kills him, whatever.
It's very vague prologue, which is my favorite kind. Like, I don't want too much information to be given away.
Agreed. I loved
it. So, you know, that there's something out there. There's something sinister. Obviously, people are really disappearing, but we just don't know. Is it supernatural? Or is it literally just like
just
somebody
all self-explained
exactly
away.
That could be explained, and it's just you know, people want to be very inventive about like.
But
what's
I love
going
that
on.
Caroline just starts to fall into all in with
well,
Portia.
At first, I really love it because whenever they're leaving, they're going back home. The constable is actually waiting for Caroline. He's like, hey, so I know that you care about your sister and stuff, and I just want to let you know like what's going on, and you know, there's just a history there because Adrian, you should ask about like Eloise, like what happened to him. Eloise or whatever.
Because he went to school with Adrian. Mm-hmm.
He's like, we used to be friendly.
Very good friends.
I used to know him, you know, and I thought I knew him and maybe not. And I would just be very careful because if you're trying to entrust this man with your sister, like I'd think twice basically.
Because there was a disappearance of a woman and the constable suspects Adrian was involved in the disappearance.
Yes, exactly.
And they've never found her.
And there's just, it's just like certain little pieces, like Caroline wants to be very logical and she's just like, what proof do you have? You know, but there's little things like when Constable, like before he left, he threw over his shoulder, oh, by the way, I ran into, you know, our old friend from Oxford,
Victor.
And Julian's face goes white and like Kane, like his jaw tightens and stuff. And so it's like those little tells. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a good history here.
Exactly. So anyway, I just really loved it. And I really loved that Constable Larkin. It's very obvious that he cares for Vivian, and that's why he's being so damn stubborn about this. This is the only reason why he's pursuing this so hard, is because he doesn't trust Adrian, and he is very worried. Vivian's literally his only concern, and I kind of really like that. He makes it, like, really endearing. So we have that mystery about Eloisa. Like, that seed's been planted in Caroline's mind. Like, oh, there was this girl that Adrian apparently, like, maybe was engaged to and stuff, and she's disappeared. Like, of course I don't want that to happen to my sister. So now she's a little bit on the defensive,
right?
And so she ropes Portia into her schemes, and she's like, hey, we're gonna follow him.
Yeah.
So they think they're being all sly, and they follow him, and he ends up
in Vauxhall, which I love. Vauxhall is perfect for like a vampire sort of thing, because Vauxhall is like people wear masks and they walk around and they flirt and they kiss and they, you know, go to Lover's
Lane.
Yeah,
that secret maze.
There's like a tryst, you know, for assassinations and stuff like that. So it was great for this sort of scene. So of course, like as they start, you know, they lose him in the crowd, which was, I don't know, it's so funny. So then, but then they see Vivian and Aunt Marietta coming
their
way.
They're supposed to be at some other party.
Right.
And they weren't expecting to see them at Vauxhall.
Right. And they weren't supposed to be there. And so suddenly, like, Caroline is hidden behind a pillar and Portia's like, oh my gosh, Vivian and Marietta, I was came out looking for you. And
yeah,
like,
so
you
she
know.
Basically sacrifices herself saying that she snuck out that night and Caroline's able to slip away and she actually goes down like the
lover's lane.
And she sees like some trysts happening and stuff and she's just trying to like walk around trying to discover where he went and these two young dandies approach her and she, trusting girl, girl that she is, country girl that she is. She's like, oh, gentlemen,
can you assist me?
I've lost my way.
Back. She's like, yo, like Caroline, like Little Red Riding Hood and the wolf. It's like,
Caroline, come on. Are you serious? Who comes around the corner?
They were planning some seriously nefarious things with her.
Yeah, they were like, there's no way that a woman is down this lane and unless she doesn't know what's happening.
Right.
Like, this is it's very rare that somebody who would be, you know, ignorant to what happens down there would just wander by themselves, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, they were thinking that she was playing coy, and then whenever she refused, they were just insistent, and obviously they needed to be pummeled, and thank God Adrian happens around.
Because they were even like, hey, well, you know, we'll take her first or something like that. And he was like,
no. When Adrian was just kind of like, hey, like, she's mine. They were like, oh, no, you can have her after us. And Adrian's like, I don't think so. And I love how he immediately like just like lays him flat on the ground. And she just like, wow, I didn't even see him. Like, put him on the ground.
Super warrior.
You know, it's like, oh, how'd that happen so fast? And what is it, supernatural? You know, like, I love the little seeds planted.
Exactly. It's like, ooh, he's super fast, like super humanly fast or whatever.
Exactly.
And then, of course, we hear Vivian and Aunt Marietta and Portia loudly talking, coming down Lover's Lane. I saw him come this way. So they're after him.
Yeah,
so
they're also trying to, what was her name?
Aunt Marietta.
Aunt Marietta is very insistent, like, let's force Vivian and this guy together, because that would be a wonderful thing.
Right.
And Caroline's, I remember reading this for the first time and I laughed because she turns to him and she goes, make love to me. And I'm like, wait, what? I was like, what are you doing, Caroline? But the next chapter that starts, it's like, no, we need to like, basically she means like, make out with me.
Yes.
Make out with me so that they can't see our faces and they'll think we're just two lovers having a tryst and they'll like run past. And they really did. They were, I love how like in the background you could hear, like, of course, they're kissing Adrian and Caroline. And he's taken aback. He's like, what?
I love that she like just kisses him first and he's frozen at first. And of course he takes over and I'm like, oh, I love these kind of kisses.
And they're not paying attention. But in the background, you can hear like Aunt Marietta like slapping Portia with her fan, like, stop looking, run. Like, and she's like, stop throwing my hood over my head. It's just really funny because like Portia's being nosy. She wants to see.
No, Portia, she's my favorite.
I fucking loved it because she was just kind of like, I saw you and Adrian together. She's like, you recognize this? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I sure did.
Oh, Portia's awesome.
Portia
She's funny.
Is fucking hilarious. I can't with her. So anyway, I just really, really love that moment because it's kind of like, this is something that she has never had for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And like Juliet said, Vivian's gotten everything. And this is like something that she's a little jealous, but she also, it's not very like blatant or anything. It's just kind of like you feel for her because this is something that she should have experienced, this love for the first time. And she can't because this is her
should
sister's,
be her love.
This is
you
her
know?
Sister's suitor. And it's wrong. And I it's know. So fucking sad.
But
it's
like
so
you
sad.
Can tell that he wants her. Like to me it was like even the scenes with Vivian and him, you can tell he has no desire for her at all and that there's some sort of ploy which we will discover later. So the next day, so they part. The next day,
he comes to call because he wants to invite them to his country estate because he's going to be having a masquerade. And basically the plan was they were all going to go back to their country estate and wait until the ball was happening. But Adrian basically invites them to come and stay the week before the ball.
Well, he invited
Vivian
Aunt Marietta.
And Caroline basically was just like, oh, Aunt Marietta, you don't have to go.
You don't have
I
to go.
Chaperone.
I'll go. I am the chaperone. I kind of love this that Caroline is actively like, first of all, she's like, yes, I need to protect my sister, but also I can't control this attraction and I need to see what's going on here. You know, does he really care for my sister or
and it's like her
you know?
Motivation, at least this is how I interpret it. She's kind of falling in line with Larkin with his thinking, like maybe something
like there is something
is going
suspicious
on. But it's like, you know, that her motivation is like, I need to find she wants to find a reason why Vivian can't marry him.
Right.
You know,
because he's meant for her.
He's meant for her. And he's just like,
let's also mention that Aunt Marietta put her and Portia like in the fucking attic, you know, like Vivian has like this, you know, great grand bedroom and she's like up in the eaves, you know, and
they're
she,
literally like in a
like under the
attic
dormer
room with like all like the nicked furniture and it's leaky
and
stuff.
When she Adrian notices her in the window up there, so because this is kind of important later, so that she's like in this like really shabby
oh
like,
and by the
upstairs.
Way whenever he comes to call, it's during the daylight.
Yes.
And like at first Caroline's like, oh well, damn, I guess he's not a vampire because, like, you know, it's
but the it's sun the is daytime. Completely covered. Whenever he leaves, raining.
It's raining, and she's like, "Well, is it daylight that vampires can't go in, or is it sunlight? It's
like there's a difference." Dum 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 dum. Okay, that's so funny.
So I love it. So anyway, I love how she invites herself there to be the chaperone.
Yes.
So they go to his estate, and it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay,
but it's this giant castle,
and the first thing they see is like this huge stag's head mounted on the wall, and all of the tapestries depict like these bloody battles.
Or hounds catching their prey, little does and blood.
It's like it's very sinister.
It's like, hello. Like,
what kind of message are you trying to send right whenever we walk in? You know? So I just love how, like, everything about this estate, it's, like, screaming something's going on, y'all,
it almost is, like, it is comic. It is just so funny.
It's wonderful. Yes. I loved it, too. So, you know, of course, we're being escorted. They're being shown their rooms. Oh, and Adrian's not there right now. He's out, okay?
She's out, and it's storming.
Like, it's convenient. Why is he out right now?
Like, it's like storming, raining.
Is he sleeping? Like, what's going on? You know, like in his coffin.
She has a contentious relationship with a butler, too, because the butler looks at her and goes, he has a very sturdy constitution, you know?
Yep, exactly. So I really love it. Portia and Vivian are shown to their bedroom and they're actually rooming together. It's a huge bedroom.
They're like, yeah, Portia and Vivian have like a ensuite connecting their parlor or whatever. And she is taken to the North Tower, up five flights. And when she walks in, she's like, wait, this was probably meant for Vivian. It's like, no, I was given explicit instructions that Miss Caroline was to be in the North Tower.
Okay. She's like, this is like built for a queen.
Extravagant. I mean, just like lovely. It's beautiful. Fire's burning. There's this emerald green dressing gown waiting on her bed. There's like refreshments and like, it's just like, I could see it all in my head.
He's treating her like the queen that she is.
Like his queen.
And she's just like, this has to be for Vivian. This has to be a mistake. And then whenever the butler confirms that it's for her, she's just kind of like taken aback, like, wow.
Yes.
I've never been treated like that before.
And so later, I love that, like, she's in her dressing gown. She goes out on the balcony.
She's like a single candle.
Yes. She goes out on the balcony. It's so gothic. I love it. It's so gothic. She goes to the balcony, and of course, he appears out of the shadows immediately. And she thinks, did you fly up here? And then she realizes there's a walkway around the whole castle.
She thought her balcony was a private balcony, but it's not. It's actually connected.
And it's connecting.
It's connected to the rest of the South Tower. And I'll give you one guess as to who inhabits the South Tower.
Yes, who's in the South Tower.
But I love that because it's just, there was a moment though, because Adrian was actually out. We have this point of view. He was going to investigate because there were these like livestock that was being slaughtered. And it sounds very sinister. And then,
like torn apart by beasts or something.
And then he finally finds out that it was a dog that had gone mad and he had to put it down and stuff. Right. And whenever he comes back, he sees like that first image, whenever he sees the North Tower and he sees light coming from it. And like he gets that like visceral reaction, like, oh, she's there in my home. Like,
and
it
even
feels
sees
homey.
Her.
It
he
feels
see- homey. Yeah, he sees her and it's just like his heart is like drawn to her. So there's mutual serious attraction. Like we get his thoughts in his head that it's like, you know, he can't stop dreaming about her since that kiss.
And so we have like slight hints in his point of view whenever he has discussions with Julian. They're talking about Duvalier and how, you know, I love how one of the first things that he thinks about Duvalier is he's like, I'm really glad that Duvalier wasn't at Vauxhall, because if he would have seen me kissing Caroline, then he would have known where my affections truly lie, type of thing. And it's like dropped. It's like you can tell that there's a trap kind of being set
for
this man. And he's talking to Julian, and when he's talking about like the livestock, Julian makes a comment like, oh, well, you know that I never had a real taste for mutton either. Yeah. So it's like all these signs point to maybe these brothers have something going on supernaturally.
Yeah. And there's also more signs about like when Larkin was talking about the first time that Adrian saw Vivian, he's like, he paled like he'd just seen a ghost. So we know, okay, she represents somebody in the past, and there's this missing girl, Eloisa, that allegedly he was in love with at some point. You know, like, so it's like, I feel like I knew Vivian is a replacement for this girl. Like, you start to kind of pick up on all that, and it's like, you know,
I also love the explanation about like why he put Vivian and Portia. He's like, oh, well, you can't accuse me of like sneaking into her room because Portia will be chaperoning Vivian because they're right next to each other. Like, I thought you would improve, because if I would have stuck Vivian in this North Tower, then you would have cried wolf, basically being like, I was trying to do something sinister. So,
right.
You know, but that's really? Not the real reason.
He wants easy access that's to stalk her. Reason. Come on. That's everybody stop reason. It right now.
So I really love it. And so also, and she, of course, thinks that she's like a spinster and like nothing had really happened to her. I'm like, yeah. Sure. So I love how during the day she wants to explore. And she and Portia kind of like, she's like, I'm going to investigate. I'm going to find stuff that is wrong.
I love that they get lost. And like, Vivian's like, I've been alone all day. Where have y'all been? And so like, oh, Portia, no, like,
we didn't mean to leave you, but.
And it was right as they were going to go down. There's this one like heavy wooden mahogany door, facing the South Tower. And they're like, hey, let's explore this. But then Vivian walks up. So Portia again sort of sacrifices herself. Vivian, why don't you come with me? Let's go have tea or whatever. So then she's going alone down this darkened corridor. So I love it. So again, we have the single candle as she goes into this, and it's a windowless corridor. So it's completely dark. And of course the door is like halfway shut and the night is, falling. So it just gives me, it's like so gothic. It's funny, but also a little spooky too at the same time.
Because whenever she opens the door, she thinks that Adrian's right around the corner, but it's not him.
It's not a portrait. It's a portrait. She gasps because it's like, it's a portrait of
but
him.
But it's like a life-size one. It's
big. Yeah, life-size portrait. And then she's like, but he's dressed in like, older clothes. And so then she goes and she realizes, oh, this is a gallery. And then she realizes there's another portrait. It's also Adrian.
All of Adrian.
And even older clothes. She goes all the way back to like medieval, almost like Viking looking, but like 1300s.
Definitely like William the Conqueror.
Yes, it's like 1300s gear and stuff. And she thinks, oh my God, this is Adrian.
He's immortal.
He is.
And then... The real Adrian appears. And he's like, it's uncanny, isn't it? The family resemblance.
Oh, my God.
The family resemblance is so uncanny. Now, I will say, this is quite the convenient. This is quite the convenient little thing that happens in the book because, it's not as what it seems.
But at first I was like, is he? This was the part where I had started to believe what I thought he was what he ends up turning out to be. But at this point, it kind of twisted me around. I'm like, maybe he is. Maybe he is immortal,
And also another thing that they both noticed was that Caroline has... there is a mole on the portrait, like, for every person.
Every single one of them has the exact same mole over the eyebrow or whatever.
And she's like, well, what happened to the Julian? Why does he not look? Oh, he takes after my mother and all that jazz.
Yeah.
It's so convenient that the person who propagates the line, they all look alike, but the younger siblings don't. anyway, but they discovered when Caroline was in her room that there's a vanity there, but there's no mirror. Whenever they actually open vanity, they open it because it was closed, and they open it
because their souls are gone and their reflections like vanished.
Yes. So like I love how she's gathering all this information, this ammunition against him. And so one night, whenever she figures out, she's like, I think that he's truly a vampire. Like I'm gonna have to go. I need a stake.
Yeah, she gets a stake. She finds holy water. She's brought a crucifix, even though they're not papists, as they call, And so she decides, he didn't vanish out of thin air. He came from somewhere. So she follows the outer walkway toward the South Tower. And lo and behold, of course, it leads directly to his bedroom. And she got, y'all, this setup, he's, of course, like naked in bed, half covered in his red sheets.
I love it. And red. I love how the sheets are like just sheets. Covering his butt. And she's like, I don't know if he has anything on underneath that. My God.
So she's like, I'm just going to touch him once and then leave.
I'm going to leave because he's just sleeping so soundly. Like, maybe I'm being a little crazy, so maybe not. But just one touch before I go.
And then, of course, as soon as she's like, touches him, he snatches her and he's on top of her.
Rolls her on the bed. Convenient.
And then they have a fucking hot, make out. It's nice.
He's like kissing all down her neck and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, they come to and they're like, oh, shit, this is not supposed to be happening.
Right.
I'm not supposed to be with you.
Also finds her steak.
I love how he's just like, what were you going to do? Knit something on my heart or something? Like, what is this?
That, well, I... That was kind of a cool way to sort of end this sort of little makeout. He starts biting at her neck and she's like, what are you doing? Like,
you bit
ow!
Me. She's like, you bit me. And he's like, well, isn't that what you expected me to do? Bite you because like you brought this fucking steak with you? And she's like, you know, abashed.
And he's like, he's a little like wounded, you know, that she actually believes this. And so that's when he sort of like escorts her back. But Julian is right out
on the walkway.
Drawbridge. Mm-hmm. And so this is where we discover he is not a vampire.
Because she mentions the mirror. She's just like, well, why do you not have any mirrors around here?
Yeah, explain yourself.
And Julian basically is just kind of like, it's because of me.
Yeah, and he's
like, it's because I don't have a soul. And she's like, oh, did you two plan this? Are you trying to scare me? Like, okay, yeah, now
thanks,
you're just making
guys.
Fun
Over
of me.
Port,
now you're
just like coming
me.
Up with this.
Like, okay, all right, poor country girl. Okay, fine. I guess I was wrong. Mm-hmm. But then Julian's eyes turn and his fangs pop out. And she's like, oh my God.
Yeah, she
you know,
backs
and Adrian
into Adrian.
Catches her and stuff. Yeah. And I love how Adrian's like, hey, that's not sporting. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
And at first she thinks maybe this could be a trick of the light. And I really kind of like how she doesn't like go screaming or anything. She's basically like, she wants him to do it again.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, can you do that thing with your eyes and stuff again? Because she wants to make sure, was this a trick of the light? This something right. that they truly did plan? Like, what if I command him to do it again? Will he be able to
can
repeat
he do it?
It?
Right.
And he does.
And that's when we discover that Adrian is actually a vampire hunter.
Adrian says he's a vampire hunter.
Yes. And Julian was turned against his will by this Victor Duvalier character.
Yes. And I really kind of like the little brotherly guilt that Adrian mm-hmm. has, because Julian was always kind of like a tag along.
Right.
And he wanted to hang around with Adrian so bad, but Adrian just kind of like wanted to do his own thing. He wanted
He's
to
like,
hang
yeah,
out
you run along.
With Constable Larkin and stuff like yeah. that. That was his BFF. And he was going to Oxford and doing big boy things, and he didn't want Julian to hang around. And his mother had decided to go like on the continent, and that's why Julian met Victor and right. started hanging around with his crowd. And it was like, you know, just like they were up to no good type of thing. And so this is where we find out that
let me call some bad young bloods.
Yes, bad young bloods.
Yeah, they were vampires.
Those young bucks.
They were vampires.
And so we find out even more because oh, by the way, Constable Larkin he pushes in on this little country gathering again too, because Julian had stayed behind in London for a little bit.
Yeah,
and whenever he was making his way, basically Larkin had invited himself because he wants to protect Vivian. That's
right.
What his whole thing was. But he had mentioned again to Caroline earlier, saying like, well. The story about Eloisa was that we were all kind of in love with her.
Yeah.
I was in love with her. Adrian was in love with her. Victor was in love with her. And she chose
Adrian.
So once we find out that Julian is the vampire, we discovered that what happened was he kidnapped Eloisa and also Julian.
Mm-hmm.
And he drained Eloisa and he killed her. And then he instead, as a way to lash out at Adrian, instead of killing his own brother, he was like, no, I want him to live with his brother being,
right.
you know, soulless,
right.
basically. And there's a rumor, there's a way for Julian to get his soul back, and he has to kill his maker, basically. He has
right.
to drain him dry. So this is what the whole plan is. Vivian is a doppelganger for Eloisa.
Yeah, she looks just like her.
Just like her.
He even gave her her cameo and gave her this gown to wear to the masquerade ball,
yep.
which would basically make her a prime target for Victor.
Yeah, and Caroline's
so
upset about that.
Yeah, this is when she finds out that, wait, you're using my sister as bait? Are you kidding me?
Yep.
So like, and this is right after they've sort of confessed that they love each other, and she's like,
because
know.
He basically is just kind of like,
yeah,
I have feelings for you, and no, you can't be in the way, and I don't really want to marry your sister and stuff like that. Well, I mean, he doesn't come out and say it right then, but at the
right.
masquerade ball he does,
right?
Because she decides to drug her sister with laudanum and go down in the dress,
yep.
and wear the cameo in the mask. And I love how he immediately knows that it's her because of his visceral reaction to her. Like, this isn't Vivian.
Oh, my God.
Caroline.
I love his reaction to her at the masquerade ball.
And, of course, he approaches her
so
to
good.
Dance with her, and they're dancing. And that's whenever they're getting into that little argument because he's like, mm-hmm. you little fool. I don't want you in danger. And she's like, well, I'm not going to let you put my sister
he's
in
like
danger.
He's, like, furious. I love the state of fury and arousal at the same time. I just, like, he's so angry with her. It's like, you would put yourself in danger. And she's like, you were going to put my sister in danger. Why is it, you know, any different? And he's like, because I'm not in love with your sister.
Yes.
And he yells
it.
He's furious.
The whole ballroom like comes to stand.
Everybody stops.
Like,
and then of course Larkin and Vivian holding a, you know, limp Lily, Vivian in his arms.
Larkin, why did you bring her down here?
What the fuck are you doing?
I don't know.
Larkin?
I don't know what he's doing.
I know. Me too. Why did you bring her to the ball?
Why did you bring her down
here? Half dressed?
Yes.
What's
like,
happening?
Was she in her nightgown? Like, she wasn't quite dressed all the way.
I know.
I am confusion, Larkin.
Yeah, that was a little like, why? That was like a little convenient. Like, that
I would have preferred,
would not have happened.
I mean, like, not to try to rewrite the book or anything, but I would have preferred if he, like, after the outburst, he'd been like, okay, well, we need to go somewhere private to talk, and that's whenever they ran into Larkin and Vivian. Like,
exactly.
That would make
so
more
that
sense.
That was the moment where Vivian overhears that he's in love with her sister, not with her. Even
so I love how Caroline's immediate
her.
Reaction is guilt.
Oh yeah,
she's
guilt.
Like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean for this to happen. And Vivian's like, her shoulders are shaking and stuff. And then she realizes that she's not crying. She's relieved because she's like, I don't love Adrian. That's the point. I don't love him. She has felt this pressure, and it reminds me a lot of the Viscount Who Loved Me. And Edwina, she felt all this pressure to marry because she needed to
save
her family.
For money.
And that's what Vivian was feeling.
Exactly.
She was feeling this pressure.
Yeah. Because you can tell, like, I mean, and now, I mean, her disdain, not disdain, but her, like, pushing Larkin away is because she loves him and can't have him.
Yeah, she's like, I know I can't marry him because he doesn't even make a good salary even to support a wife, you know?
He doesn't even have, like, cousins and brothers I could introduce to y'all.
I love how that was one of the things that she said. She's like, and he doesn't even have family that I could try to marry you guys off to.
She goes, not even a doddering uncle? No,
yeah, Caroline,
not even that.
Like, not even a daughter.
It was so funny. There's so much humor in the story.
There
just
is.
Like, it's great.
There's
I loved
great
it.
Humorous moments. I think that's why I really like it, because it has that gothic feel, but it's also lighthearted.
But it's funny.
And it's fun. It's kind of, and it's adventurous.
It almost makes fun of itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's kind of a little bit meta. Like, it knows what it's doing. And I really enjoyed that. So anyway, now we know. And I love how Larkin is stunned, because he honestly had no idea that Vivian felt the same way about him.
Yeah.
Like, he thought he was just, it's unrequited love.
Yeah. Like, he's like completely like,
he's just like thunderstruck. He's like, what? She likes
Wait, what?
I love
Miss
it.
Vivian, let me assist you.
Absolutely love it. So,
yeah.
I love how.
So everything seems great.
Yeah. And they think that they're going to trap Duvalier.
Right.
And like, that it's going to go according to plan. But when he has quite kind of like made the announcement that he loves Caroline, it kind of ruins it. And like, he apologized to Julian. He's like, I'm so sorry. Like, we
I know
had
we've
this
been
trap
trying
set.
To do this.
Yeah, exactly. And Julian's just kind of like, no, I expected it. Like, I mean, I don't expect you to
I
sacrifice your love for me. Like, I mean, like, he knows. He knows his brother's trying and all that jazz. And he was like sitting mysteriously at the top of the like roof or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, let's say this too, though. But when, so when Adrian comes out of the library where he was with Vivian, he storms out and storms past Caroline Lynn just like walks on. It's like, what the hell happened? So
and
after
Vivian had told her.
Yeah, because he had told her everything. And Vivian's like, oh yeah, after he told me that basically he has taken liberties with you, and after he's announced to the entire ton of London at his ball that he's in love with you, I told him he has to marry you.
Yeah. And so now Caroline kind of feels like Adrian feels like
he's
must
marrying
marry
her for duty.
Her.
Yes.
And
duty.
So she feels bad about that, because she's like, oh, he wouldn't want to marry me anyway. And I'm like, Caroline, oh, my poor my poor sweet
You're
summer
so
child.
Funny.
Oh, poor baby. So also we have like a moment where, well, no, do they sleep together after this?
This is where they make love right here.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they have to have like their little like
we have our sex scene,
our little tiff and the fight.
Yes.
Where, you know, of course he has to be like, no, I do have so much feeling for you, but I didn't want you to be wrapped up into this. I didn't want you to be in danger. Like, I have a duty to my brother, and I didn't want anything to get in the way of that. But of course, I love whenever fights, like these little arguments of like, I'm trying to save you type of thing turns into like lovemaking.
Oh,
it's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorites. So I just really loved it. They have some wonderful,
they have an all-nighter. It's really well done. The, it's very beautiful. The sex scenes are really, really good.
I think so as well. So anyway, they make love and it's wonderful. But then they discover later on that Portia is gone, and they think that Portia has ran away, because like someone's knocking on the door, and it's Larkin actually. And they're like, hey, We thought Portia was in her room. She's not there. Missing. And like we realize in hindsight, like for the ball, Larkin had gone looking for Vivian. And when Caroline had drugged Vivian, it was actually in her room.
Her room.
And so Larkin originally had gone to Vivian and Portia's room and he didn't see anybody there. So we realize that Portia's been missing for that whole time.
Yeah, because, and we should mention that Portia got angry with Caroline because she forbid her from coming to the ball because she was trying to protect her safety.
Yeah, she's just like,
well, of course, keeping her separate from the ball has actually landed her into trouble because she has been kidnapped, not just disappeared. They realize this when they go down to the crypt where Julian sleeps in his coffin like a good vampire.
Yep.
And he is not there. So they realize, oh no, they're both gone. And he remembers, I love that Adrian remembers something Julian said about the little puppy Portia. She's like so beautiful and basically she's a weakness for me because she's like always pining after me and I could easily give in to that.
They kind of realize because Adrian assumed that Duvalier would be wise to their plan and he probably would have left by this point. Like he would have gone. And that was their mistake because he didn't. And not only does he capture Portia, he captures Julian. And we get that scene in Julian's point of view where he's in the cell. He's very weakened. He's very weakened. He's so thirsty. Then all of a sudden the door opens and Victor walks in and we have a bound and gagged Portia.
I knew this was going to happen. I was like, oh my God, because he's been so Julian's starving, okay? And he's been chained up in the dungeon. I'm like, I know what he's going to fucking do. He's going to put Portia in there and he's not going to be able. And I love that Julian's like, please don't do this to me.
He's begging. Let you kill her because he thinks that it's going to be like a replay of what happened
with Eloisa.
Where Victor killed Eloisa. He's like, don't kill her in front of me. Like, I'm begging you, don't hurt her, don't kill her. And I don't love this, but Victor's like, oh, I'm not going to kill her.
You are. It was perfect. It was like, I was like, I like this. That totally.
So everyone else is like on this trip, trying to figure out where Julian and Portia has gone. Where could he have taken them? I also love how there's like a little bit of a row between Vivian and Caroline. Adrian doesn't really want them to go, but they're insisting that they're going to go. And then, like, I love how Caroline and Vivian get into, like, this little tiff. And, like, it's a tiff about how, like, Caroline just kind of, like, you're selfish. You get all the things. And anyway, it was just, like, kind of came out of nowhere. And they're, like, venting to each other. And Adrian and Larkin look at each other and, like, oh, we can sneak away. We can go in the woods.
Yeah,
let's
just go. And, like, where are you two going?
And they're, like, hey, what are you doing? They're, like,
not without us.
Going find Portia and Julian. And they're, like, oh, men. And then they start, like, venting about men and how, like, oh, you give them liberties one time and they think that they rule everything. And I love how
it was
Larkin
so
turns to Adrian. He's like, I think they found a common enemy. And he's like, us.
That
was just, like, a funny little humorous moment.
It was. Well, it was good to kind of see them all sort of, like, mending everything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there were no bad feelings.
Caroline needed to get it off her chest and stuff. And Vivian was just kind of like, hey, you didn't need to take it all on yourself. You could have asked me to help you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be Mother Caroline.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I would have helped. And it was just good. Yeah. So anyway, and I love how whenever they go to the family crypts, like the Cain family crypts, it was locked and they're like, this doesn't usually have a
lock on it. Something's happening.
Yeah.
And so when he shoots the pistol on the lock and breaks it as it opens, Julian's emerging with Portia
like,
in his
limp
arms.
In his arms and puncture marks
on her neck.
And Caroline's like, oh, no.
I love this sort of like sad moment where Adrian thinks he's going to have to kill his brother.
Julian like turned into a monster.
But then Caroline's like, no, she's breathing. She's breathing.
Look at her chest. She's breathing.
And I love, so Julian's like, you know, I didn't want to drink from her.
But she insisted.
But I only took what I had to survive, you know? So it was like, Julian, you know,
she's kind of like, I don't want to say she sacrificed herself because she's fine, but she did. She trusted him.
Take only what he needed
and stuff. And I just really love that. So, this is not quite done.
Okay.
So Julian is like, oh, they've lost their chance. Duvalier is gone. He's very long gone or whatever.
Right.
So they go back home. And this is whenever Adrian tries to, like, push her away. Like, hey, look, this is the danger this that you would be.
This is too dangerous. I
connected
can't
to me. I need you to go back to your
right.
back, and we'll forget these 2 weeks have never happened. She's like, right. I can't forget these things
happening. I love how she kind of tosses it back in his face. She's like, maybe I'll just find myself a lover since I know the pleasures of the yep. bed. You know, and he's like, yeah, who's lying now? Because they're both like angry and it she's hurt. Just like and hurt. And she just like, it's fine. And like walks away.
She walks
hurt
away to the balcony because she's going to her North Tower.
Right, to her North Tower. And as she crosses the drawbridge, the whatever they call that.
That little walk.
Yeah, whatever. There's a bridge. And of course, she's stopped by a hooded figure, none other than Victor Duvalier. And so we flash back to Adrian, and he's talking to Julian, and Julian tells him, yeah, well, he knows about Caroline because he called her your little whore.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh my God.
Oh shit, Caroline's unprotected.
He knows her. And so, of course, he sneaks around. He's got an, a bow, a crossbow with, like, obviously the arrow could count as a stake. And they have this showdown between them. Speaking of showdown, this showdown between them. And I thought it was really interesting that, like, he's like, well, you can't kill me because I'm the only chance for Julian's soul to be saved. You wouldn't, like, choose
your brother's chance
over, you know, this, you know, whatever. And, of course.
And, like Caroline doesn't expect him to choose her over his brother. Like,
she's like, don't worry. She's like, I don't blame you. She's, like, basically saying goodbye. She's like, I don't blame you for anything. Don't worry. I love you. I don't blame you for anything. And then, of course, he's like, he kills Victor.
He kills him. And he just, like, Victor vanishes into a puff of smoke.
Fuck you,
he's ashes.
Victor.
He's ashes and he's dead.
Yes.
And she's stunned. She's like, wow, this is Julian's chance and it's gone.
Yeah.
It's fucking gone.
But there still could be a chance for Julian. We learn later.
So we learn that maybe Julian can go find Victor's creator.
Right.
And kill him.
Right.
And possibly regain right. his soul.
Because basically the power amplifies as it goes up the chain. But you can always get your soul back if you get it back from the creator. So he's hoping that if he can find Victor's creator, then he can be saved. But of course, after he has to kill him and drain him dry.
Yep. So we have a little epilogue, and I love how it starts with Aunt Marietta being like, whoever heard of a midnight wedding before? So
that was funny. I thought that was clever.
And they're not getting married at a church because they want Julian to be there. Yes. So it's
and Vivian and Larkin are gone because they went to Gretna Green.
They eloped.
They just took off.
And I love Aunt Marietta is just kind of like, your poor sister and the match that she made. But it's a love match, we know. And we think that is wonderful.
Yeah. We did have a little sad moment between Portia and Julian where it's like, you're really leaving. And he's like, I have to.
Yes.
Oh,
Julian's going
to
Paris.
He has feelings for her.
Yes, Julian's going to Paris. And Portia is just kind of like,
I really want to read that
one.
I think
he turns back around to her and says, like, don't forget me or something like that.
He says, don't forget me, pretty eyes.
Yes,
or something like
and then
that.
She's
it's
like,
so
how
sweet.
Could I? And stuff. And it's like, so I love how in the beginning of the book, when he first met Portia and he's talking about Portia, he's just like, this little child.
Who's
following me. And then, of course, you know, there's more to it. And I'm wondering if in Julian's and Portia's book, we get maybe some scenes that we didn't really quite see in this book of them like talking to each other, you know,
right.
scenes maybe in the crypt of Portia actually like offering herself, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm just very curious if we would have any kind of like quote unquote flashbacks about or like some time cross, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is after midnight. Caroline and Adrian are living happily ever after, and Julian just kind of like, you know what, I'm gonna grow up and take care of my own shit. I don't need my brother to take care of it for me.
Yeah.
And his book is the second book, which I have yet to read yet.
I really have to, because I mean, I honestly, like, I love Portia as much as I love Caroline in this one, and Julian's just like that. The charming vampire.
Charmer.
I mean, y'all.
Exactly.
And I just think the style is so awesome. It is. It's like so gothic-y, but also just like funny. Mm-hmm. Like it's really cute.
It
I loved
really
it.
It is really cute. Really cute. So we loved it.
So
Showdown. Shall I go first or you go first?
I think, so my showdown really was when she snuck into his bedroom.
That's mine. Fuck you.
And I love the whole scene after where she discovers, like that to leading up to the discovery.
It's the
right
best.
After.
It's so good.
It's just so good.
Because it's
all
humorous.
The feelings
she's
are out.
Going there
yes.
with a stake to try to like maybe kill him.
And of course he pins her to the bed and he's naked
and
in his
it
red
sexy.
Silk sheets.
I mean, what more do you want?
Y'all,
what more
I love
do you
it.
Want?
It's
okay.
So good.
It's yeah. wonderful.
It's good.
It's just so decadent. Good. I love this book. I think it was just so much fun. You know?
I did too. I
it was a
good time. Was into it.
So yeah, same showdowns. I feel like we've been doing that a lot lately.
I know. Just been Y'all, we're not planning meshing. This shit. I promise you, we do not discuss showdowns.
We don't discuss this at all. It's not a thing. But anyway.
Yeah.
So we hope that you enjoyed today's episode, because we sure did. And we look forward to the next one, where we'll be reviewing Mafia Madman. Thanks so much for listening.
This goes out to all the fangirls.
Life's Better with Little H.E.A.